Good to see everyone here this morning. I'd like to encourage you to take your Bibles, first of all, turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, where hopefully you were a little earlier. The scripture reading this morning will be our text for our study. And in just a few moments we will begin there in verse 5 and make some observations. Our subject this morning will be examining ourselves. Examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. It is good to see everyone here, as I said, and we have several visitors in the audience. Thank you for being here. And, I've got so many switches, just flip, sometimes I forget, especially when I hadn't been in the saddle in a while. This harness, Brother Sharp, it takes a little getting used to again. Get that down, now you can see. There we go, make it fit. Good to see our visitors here, especially those of you who are living in this area who have come to be with us. Thank you for coming. And those of you who are passing through, traveling through, thank you for stopping by. We appreciate it very much. And if you hear anything, talk, see anything, practice, if you have any questions about whatsoever, we'd like to talk with you about those and see if we can answer any questions you have or discuss anything with you that you'd like to discuss. We'd be glad to do that with an open Bible and open mind. And we are of the mind that what the Bible says is true, and we're willing to accept it. And so that is our desire. I plea to you to take advantage of any opportunity to answer any questions in your mind, have those questions resolved from the Scriptures, because that will be our appeal, and we will study it with you. Those of you who are members of this congregation, you know that I've been gone quite a bit recently. I've had three gospel meetings and also a lectureship in Indianapolis, Indiana in the last 2 months. So it's been rather busy for me. I've got one more meeting this year and I'll be done with my meeting work. I'll be gone in October 1 week. But other than that, I'm pretty much done. It's mostly behind me. And this past week I was in Pine Bluff, and we have some people this morning from the 6th Avenue congregation in Pine Bluff. I was there this past week, as you know. And the meeting went very, very well. I appreciate the brethren there and their attendance and their efforts to serve the Lord and stand for the truth there. Brother Ed Dye is preaching there now. And I grew up sitting at the feet of his preaching. And as I stated there Friday night, I was 2 years old when Brother Dye first came to Pine Bluff 40 years ago. And he's been a great inspiration to me, and I appreciate his stance for the truth. And I'm glad that he's working with the brethren there. In our study this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, let's begin reading there in verse 5. And let me just go ahead and pull up verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Christ, Jesus Christ, is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Now I pray, then go on to read verses 7 through 10 again. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. But we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong, and this also we pray, that you may be made complete. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification and not for destruction. This is a very interesting passage to me. When you look at the idea, first of all, that's given in verse 5, examine yourselves. What we find here in this very text is that we are required to examine ourselves. This is personal. This is personal responsibility. We must examine ourselves. I'm certainly not responsible for you from the standpoint that I can control everything you can do, everything you do, everything you believe and think and practice. I can't do that for you. There comes a point in time, maybe I can have some control, but it's going to be limited. Maybe I can have some authority. Maybe I can have some influence. But that's all going to be limited, because when the dust clears, guess who is ultimately responsible for your actions? It's you. Guess who is ultimately responsible for what you believe? It's you. That is where we really get down to it. We are responsible for our own actions, for what we believe. And Paul says here, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. So it's personal responsibility. And he says, test yourselves. Put yourself through the test. There are various ways that we test ourselves in athletics, for example. You know, I know that some of you may be a little tired this morning because you stayed up late last night and watched a football game on television or listened to it on the radio. Well, the ultimate test that the University of Arkansas had been preparing for up until last night was last night. I mean, that was they were ready to see where they stood. And they've been working hard, and they have tried to simulate certain things in practice. They tried to test themselves, if you will, in practice. And apparently, they still have some catching up to do. But they did the best they could, and they tested themselves. But last night, they met a standard that they wanted to be up to. Now they have even a better idea of where they stand. They went through another test last night, the real test. And they will continue, of course, to go through these tests. But, you know, we put ourselves through tests by examining what we are supposed to be because we have the perfect standard and we also have the perfect example in Jesus Christ. And we can see what we ought to be. And we need to be testing ourselves. A personal test is required. And I want to ask this question this morning. Is Jesus in you? Because that's really the question, isn't it? Is Jesus really in you? Not do you just think that He is, but is He? And if He is in you, then you are not disqualified. You are qualified and you will receive the blessings in the end. But what if He is not in you? You will be disqualified. Now, how do you know whether Jesus is in you or not? Well, that's what Paul is saying here. Examine yourselves to make sure of that. And by the way, it's not a maybe that He is, maybe He's not type of thing. We have absolute objective information, instruction, and guidance to know whether He is or He isn't. The Apostle Paul, as he's going on here through 2 Corinthians chapter 13, as he says there in verse 7, now I pray to God that you do no evil. You do no evil. Okay, would Jesus do any evil? Did He do any evil? No. Nor would He. You follow Him. Verse 8, we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. It is the truth that is the standard that we must comply with. Verse 9, for we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And what he's saying here is, okay, we've presented the truth. And of course, some of the Corinthians did not really take seriously what the Apostle Paul and other apostles had said. But the idea is, okay, you take what the Scriptures teach, you take the truth, and you comply with the truth. And we need to remember that we need to be complete, perfect. And that is the idea there of completeness or perfect. That you may be perfect or complete. And we need to test ourselves. If Jesus is in us, if Jesus is truly in us as He needs to be, then we will be what we ought to be. That's the idea. Are you what you ought to be? I guess that's the question. Are you what you ought to be? Now, if you're talking about absolute perfection, all of us will answer emphatically, no, we're not. And you'd be right, I'd be right. We'd all be right by saying, no, we're not absolutely perfect in that sense. But the question is, not are you absolutely perfect? The question is, are you where you ought to be in your walk as a child of God? That's the question. Are you where you ought to be as a child of God? Examining ourselves. This morning we are going to examine four things. Our conversion. I'm going to question that. Our commitment. Our service. And our growth. And when I say I'm going to question that, I'm going to bring up some questions and I want you to answer them honestly. We're going to ask questions about all of these things. Now there is one thing that we certainly need to be aware of. There is a real live danger of self-deception. The Apostle Paul said many times, be not deceived. Do not be deceived. Over and over and over again he made such statements. Galatians 6 verses 7 through 9. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. James 1 verses 22 through 26. We're going to be going to James chapter 1 in just a few moments. But there, be not deceived. A man can be deceived and he can think that he is something when he is nothing. And so, we need to be aware of that. First of all, let's examine our conversion. There are certain things that genuine conversion requires, absolutely requires. Number one, your conversion requires faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. John 8 and verse 24. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, the Ethiopian eunuch there was told by the evangelist Philip, if thou believest, thou mayest. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes, faith in Jesus Christ is absolutely essential. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says that. But also, we must confess Jesus Christ. Genuine conversion requires the confession of Christ. That we confess that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as the eunuch did. And as Romans 10 and verse 9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And he goes on, of course, there in verse 9, we believe unto righteousness, and confession is made unto salvation. Believe is unto righteousness. Belief, the act in and of itself, does not bring about righteousness, but it leads you to righteousness. The doctrine of faith alone is not true, but we must confess Jesus Christ. And repentance, we must repent. Luke 13 and verse 5, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Acts 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Acts 17 and verse 30, God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent. So repentance is required. Baptism. John 3 and verse 5, except ye be born again. You must be born of water and the Spirit, Jesus told Nicodemus. And of course, that is also taught by the Apostle Paul in Titus 3 and verse 5. The washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit. That God saves us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 6 verses 3 through 6, know ye not that as many of you have been baptized into Christ, been baptized into His death? Have you been baptized into the death of Jesus Christ? Have you been baptized into Christ? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38? Now here are some very important questions. And I want you to think about these with me. What about Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus? What were you taught about Jesus? Were you taught that He was just a good man? Were you taught that He was that He was just some created being? There are religious groups out there that teach that. What were you taught about Jesus? Were you taught that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, is the Christ and the Son of the living God, and He is now reigning and ruling as God's Son at His right hand, that He came to this earth and He lived upon it, He brought the truth from the Father, He died so that we could have the remission of our sins, He is our atoning sacrifice, and that He was raised from the dead after 3 days in the tomb, that God raised Him up and made Him both Lord and Christ? Were you taught that? Well, I presume most of you were, if not all of you were. Well, here's another question, okay? You were taught these things about Jesus Christ. You were taught the Word of God. Now, let's say that you responded to the gospel invitation at some point in time in the past. You heard the gospel preached that Jesus is the Son of God and that you needed to repent and you needed to confess Him, and you did so. And you came forward and you were baptized. I have known people before who were baptized because their friends were baptized. They were just baptized just to go along with their buddies. I've known people who were baptized because their mother and their father wanted them to be baptized, so they were doing it to obey their parents and not to obey the Lord. And certainly every parent should want their children to obey the gospel. But the question is, why did you respond? Did you do it just because your parents wanted you to, or did you do it to obey the Lord? What did you do when you obeyed the gospel?
What did you do?
Were you immersed for the remission of your sins, or were you sprinkled? Did you have a little water sprinkled on you? Did you have some water poured on you? What did you do, or what was done to you when you obeyed the gospel? Some, you know, they think that conversion includes, okay, saying the sinner's prayer. You can't find that in the Word of God, but that's what some folks believe. Asking Jesus to come into your heart. Is that what you did? Well, that's not what the Bible teaches either. The Bible says that we are to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. Is that what you did? If you were immersed for the remission of your sins, great. You've done what the Lord wanted you to do. But you know, that's not the only concept. In fact, I think sometimes we get the idea, okay, as long as a person was baptized for the remission of their sins, that's all that's needed. What were you taught about Jesus? It goes back to that question. And for what purpose were you immersed? You know, the question is interesting in Acts chapter 19. The Apostle Paul, when he asked the Ephesians that he came across in Acts 19, he came across some people from Ephesus. And in verse 2 he says to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And that flipped that little switch in his head, and his light bulb came on and said, something's not right here. They were not taught something that they should have been taught. So, he says then in verse 3, "Into what then were you baptized?" And friend, I do believe that is the question that we need to be asking. "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Was that right? Was that into the right thing? Was that according to the right instruction? Was their baptism right? As you read on, in verse 4, then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism in repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." By the way, did John baptize for the remission of sins? It was looking to remission of sins. Now, understanding remission of sins could not actually take place until Christ died on the cross, but it was looking to remission of sins. But in verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized according to the authority of Jesus Christ. Again, what were you taught about Jesus? Were you taught that He is the Son of God and it is by His authority that you must be baptized for the remission of sins? Yes, that's part of it. But in your baptism, were you put into Christ? Did you understand that? Or did you think that when you were baptized into some denominational group? Is that what you thought? The disciples that Paul came upon, they had been baptized into John's baptism. Were they baptized right? We need to be baptized in accordance with the teachings of Jesus Christ. And Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6, "For as many of you has been baptized into Christ, has been baptized into His death." He says there in verse 3, "Know ye not." You know what that means? That means they knew that when they were baptized into Christ and into His death. Did you believe that? Did you know that when you were baptized? That's a question I think you need to ask yourself. Yes, baptism is for the remission of sins, unto the remission of sins. But it is accomplished because we are baptized into Christ and into His death, because that's the means or the power of forgiveness right there. It's in His death. That is the basis of our forgiveness. That's when we contact the death of Christ. And the Apostle Paul said that the brethren there in Rome understood that, as well as the brethren in Galatians. "Know you not that as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ?" No more, no less. We were baptized into Christ. Were you baptized into Christ, or were you baptized into some other group or some other identity? That's a question you need to think about. Examining your conversion. Suitable subject. Were you a penitent believer? Proper mode. Were you immersed? Right purpose. Were you baptized for the remission of your sins in the name of Jesus Christ? For the remission of your sins into Christ by His authority. What about our commitment? You have been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. You are a child of God, according to Galatians 3 and verses 26 and 27. You're a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus. What about now your commitment level? In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Is that the first thing in your life? The kingdom of God, the church, and His righteousness, or that which God has declared as being right. Have you that interest first in your heart and in your mind? Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Jesus here is telling a parable about a fellow who comes upon a treasure. Look at verse 44 with me. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. He had interest in that treasure, didn't he? Now, what was he willing to give so that he could have that treasure? The scripture here in the parable, as Jesus is giving it, says, for joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. How interested was he in this treasure? He was interested enough to sell everything he had to get it. May I ask you a question? What about your commitment to Jesus Christ? Is it as important to you as a treasure that you may find in your field that you're willing to go and sell everything that you have? What about the church of our Lord and Savior? Is that very important to you? Look at verse 45. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. What did he do? How interested was he in having that pearl of great price? He was so interested that he went and sold everything that he had. Now again, what does he say in verse 44 and verse 45? The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. What is the kingdom of heaven? What is that? Well, certainly it's the government of God. And of course, the government of God here on the earth is the church. And so, are you interested and are you committed to Jesus Christ by expressing that, by being committed to His body? Genuine commitment requires determination. Job 31 and verse 1. He made a covenant. He made an oath. He swore in his heart that he would not look upon a woman. He made a determination. He wouldn't do that. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. He purposed in his heart that he would not eat of the king's meats. He purposed in his heart. He was determined. That's what commitment does. True commitment takes determination. Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and verse 106. The psalmist here says, I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I have sworn and confirmed. In other words, he's saying, I have committed myself with all that I have to keep thy righteous judgments. Acts chapter 11 and verse 23. In Acts the 11th chapter, as the disciples were being strengthened and being told to keep the fight, if you will, verse 23, and he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all, that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Purpose of heart. Determination. You run with endurance that race that is set before you. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, 3. Courage. It does take courage. Moses, as he was introducing Joshua as the leader of the people of Israel, take courage. It takes courage to do what God says. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death. Now, the context there indicates very clearly, we're not just talking about, okay, be faithful as long as you live out in your mundane life the things that are going on. As we do here in the United States of America, you know, we have it all easy. We have everything pretty well set for us. There are going to be troubles that come along. No, he's talking here in the context about Christians being persecuted to the point of death and their faith costing them their life. So he's saying, be thou faithful unto death.
to the point of death, dying for your faith. That takes courage, doesn't it? It takes courage to live the Christian life. Yes, even in our time, wherever you are, at any time in history, it takes courage to do what is right. It takes courage to stand up against those who want you to do that which is wrong. It takes courage to stand up against those who are teaching error. It takes courage to stand up for those who are teaching the truth. It takes courage to do what's right. And it takes a lot of effort. Is there any doubt that the Christian life takes effort? There are those in the religious world today who teach, yes, there's no effort involved, nothing you can do at all. You just lay down in the stream of life and just take it easy and let God do it all. That's what some folks are out there teaching. The Bible certainly, clearly doesn't teach that. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, the Apostle Paul believed that effort was required. Over in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning there in verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, perseverance godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness love. And if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Effort. Be diligent. Be even more diligent. So genuine commitment requires interest, determination, courage, and effort. What about your commitment? Are you truly committed to serving Jesus? What does it take to keep you from serving the Lord? For example, when it comes to our attendance and other aspects of our service, what can we say? Can we honestly say we're giving Jesus our all? If you are truly committed to Jesus, you will also be committed to His cause and His church. Acts 20 and verse 28. There He died for the church. He gave His blood for the church. He purchased it with His own blood, Acts 20 and 28 says. Are we committed to Jesus? If we are committed to Jesus, we will be committed to that for which He died. We'll be committed to His cause. Vince Lombardi said, individual commitment to a group effort, that is what makes a team work, a company work, a society work, a civilization work. And if you don't have that commitment from those who are involved, guess what? How successful is this group, this organization, this society, this civilization, how successful will it be? How about a local congregation of believers? What if every member is committed totally, wholly to the Lord? What if you have a group of members who are committed to Christ? How successful will they be? What kind of congregation will that be? If you have members who are not truly committed to Jesus Christ, what kind of congregation will it be? We need to first be committed to the Lord, as the Macedonians were, the Apostle Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We need to be fully committed to Him. And when we are fully committed to Him, then we will also be committed to His cause. And we will join together, we will work together with others who are committed to that cause. When it comes to our attendance, do we attend every service that we possibly can? Do we attend most of the time? How committed are we to the Lord and to His cause? When it comes to personal Bible study, how committed are we to the Lord and to His cause? Because it takes knowledge on my part. If I'm going to truly grow in Christ and be what He wants me to be, I need to know what He has told me to do. And that requires Bible study. Personal Bible study. I need to be a person who reads and studies my Bible. What about prayer? I'll depend upon Him if I'm committed to Him and I trust Him. I'll give to His cause if I'm committed to it. I'm going to be concerned for others. because that's what He is. I'm concerned for others because I'm committed to Christ. And I evangelize. I go out and I teach others. Why? Because I'm committed to my Lord. That's why. If you find a person who is committed to Jesus Christ, you're going to find a person that you'll never have to talk to about their attendance habits being bad. You're not going to find that because they're truly committed to the Lord. What about our service? In John the 12th chapter, verse 26, Jesus says, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, where my servant will be also, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." If anyone serves me, first of all, Jesus says, let him follow me. Now, we follow Jesus by following what He says. So if we serve Jesus, first of all, we must understand we must do what He says. Now, a lot of people, they say, yes, I serve Jesus, and they claim to be doing all the things that they do in service to Jesus Christ. But those things are not things He said to do. Those things are not instructions that He's given us to do. Actually, they're to serve ourselves. Too often. Too many times they're to serve ourselves. And Jesus says, where I am, there my servant be also. If you want to be honored, you must serve Jesus Christ. What about your service to Christ? Service to Christ requires certain things. It requires, first of all, enlistment. That goes back to our conversion. You must be converted to Him. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, those who have been enlisted by the Lord into His army, have you been enlisted? Loyalty, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, you cannot serve both God and mammon. You have to make a choice. Are you going to be loyal to the Lord? Are you going to serve Him and Him only, as Jesus told Satan in Matthew chapter 4? The Scripture says, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve, worship. Faithfulness, Matthew 25 and verse 21, the faithful servant of Matthew chapter 25. I hope that no one here this morning, not a single solitary person here this morning, when they stand before the Lord on the day of judgment, we'll have to hear what the Lord said to the unprofitable servant of Matthew 25. I hope that you get to hear what He said to the profitable servant of Matthew chapter 25, there in verse 21. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Hope everybody here can hear that on the day of judgment. But it's only going to be if you are considered faithful. Training. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. The Apostle Paul here gives a list of weapons that the Lord has given to us and things that we are to do as we are serving Him in His kingdom. We are to be soldiers. We are to take up the armor of God. And if we are going to be fruitful in our efforts, then we must train. We must utilize what the Lord has given us. We must serve Him. As He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the wild, withstand the wiles of the devil. Are you doing that? And are you training in your service of the Lord? Are you growing? And that's what training is for. That's discipline. That's part of discipline that we talked about in our class this morning. The Christian will go through that discipline process and he will come through it. And he will be purified. Training comes from learning what God has revealed, practicing what God has revealed, and growing in what God has revealed. Are we training? And humility. Of course, if we are going to be truly dedicated to the service of Christ, then it requires humility. In Romans chapter 12, and verses 3 and 4. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. No, I have to accept my role. I have to do what I can do instead of being proud and boast up and thinking that I am the one that everybody needs to look to and follow and that kind of thing. No, I need to take whatever part and role I have on the team. It's a teamwork thing. And we need to do what we can do. And that takes humility. What do you have? If you have a team that's full of a bunch of people who want it their way, they're the ones who want the football all the time. They have to be the star. And you have a whole team full of those folks. What do you have? You've got a bad team. I don't care how talented they are. You've got problems. It takes humility to be able to work together. And selfishness. Selflessness, not selfishness. Selflessness. I'm sorry. Selflessness. Say it again. Selflessness. We must deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul says, that we are to think of others before we even think of ourselves. And we have the example of Jesus Christ for that.
Teamwork.
Ephesians 4 and verse 16, every part doing his share. Are we doing our share? Dedicated service requires us doing our share, doing what we can do. Are you doing what you can do? Are you willing to examine yourself and ask some important questions? In James chapter 1, we mentioned James earlier. Let's turn there together. James, the first chapter. Beginning in verse 21. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So, okay, the word of God is able to save me. The word of God is able to save you. But in order for it to save us, what must we do? We must be doers of the word and not hearers only. All right? So if I'm going to be a servant of Christ, yes, I can be taught, I can learn what I need to do and all of that. But guess what I need to do? I need to do it. I need to practice it. As he goes on, he says in verse 23, but if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. But he observes himself, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, that's the standard by which we're to judge ourselves. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Are you both a hearer and doer of the word of God? And let's go back to Romans chapter 12 for just a second. Romans chapter 12, where we were there just a few moments ago. We're talking about not to think of ourselves above what we ought to think. We're all members of the same body. And verse 5, he talks about how, being many, we are one. Go down to verse 9. Look at verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Are you a doer of that? Listen to verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Are you a doer? Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Are you a doer of the word? Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. Are you a doer of the word? Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Are you a doer of the word? Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Are you a doer of the word? Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. Are you a doer of the word? In fact, we could go up to verses 7 and 8. You have ministry, teaching, exhorting, giving, leading, mercy, all these things. Are we doers of the word? Are we doing what we can do? Which servant in Matthew chapter 25 verses 14 through 30 would best describe you? Would you be the slothful, lazy servant that went and hid his one talent in the ground, covered it up, and waited till the Lord comes back? Is that you? Or are you the one who takes what the Lord's given you and you have put it to use? Which one are you? Are you serving within the body of Christ? Are you doing the word? Important questions. Let's examine ourselves, brethren. All of us, myself included. We need to examine ourselves and ask ourselves these important questions. Are we serving the Lord as we should be? What about our spiritual growth? Spiritual growth requires several things. First of all, it requires conversion. You can't grow spiritually unless you're first converted. Commitment, you will not grow unless you are committed. And service, you will not grow until you put into practice the things that the Lord has told you to do. It's just the way it works. A lot of times, you know, we want to jump up like a young teenager getting out of high school. He goes out in the job market and he starts looking for a job. He wants to be a president of a bank somewhere. Do you think it's going to happen? Absolutely not. What does he have to do? He has to be committed. If that's what he really wants to be in life, he's got to go to school, he's got to train, he's got to do it. He's got to practice as an intern a little while. He's got to work his way up the ladder. It doesn't just happen that he becomes the president of a bank out of high school. We understand that there are steps to take. By the way, there's a point. We were at college, University of the Ozarks, and the president of the University of Ozarks made a very good point about homework. And Michael and Janet are here this morning. He talked about homework. Many of the professors, they give a lot of homework, but they never grade the homework. They don't grade the homework. But what do they do? What do they do with the homework? The homework is to help them, teach them, train them for things. And by the way, he will put things on the homework on a test. He may not grade it, but it'll be on the test. It's things that they need to know and understand. And the Lord has given us a lot of things that we need to know and understand. But you know what? What a lot of folks want to do, they want to take shortcuts. They want to take shortcuts. They won't do their homework. They won't do certain things that the Lord requires because those things, they don't see the importance of them. They don't see the necessity of them. They don't see the necessity in coming and assembling and for Bible study and studying the Word of God together. They don't see the necessity of that. They don't see the necessity of coming together on Wednesday evening and studying the Bible with the fellow believers. They don't see that as being required of them, so they don't do it. They don't see the necessity of attending every service. Now, who is going to become weak because of their absence and their lack of knowledge and understanding? And when it comes testing time, are they going to pass or are they going to fail? Being led by the Spirit. What does that mean? First of all, Romans 8, verses 1 and 2, when we follow the law of the Spirit, that which the Holy Spirit has revealed. Those who are led by the Spirit are those who are led by what the Holy Spirit has revealed in His Word. Now, are you led by the Spirit? Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. Are those things that you possess? Spiritual growth requires being led by the Spirit. If we're going to become the people that the Holy Spirit wants us to become, we must follow His instructions. Giving all diligence. We've already looked at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. We must give all diligence. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Give all diligence. Giving all diligence. Study to show thyself approved unto God. What? Study to show thyself as approved unto God. Study. Give diligence. Are you studying? Are you giving diligence to make sure that you are being approved by God? Learning and applying. Again, those who hear the teachings of Jesus Christ and do them, Jesus says He will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And when the winds blew, the waves came, what happened to that house that was built upon that solid foundation? It stood. But that is like whom? Those who hear what Jesus says and those who do what Jesus says. James 1, 21 through 26 again. Are we doing the Word? Are you giving all diligence to add the things of 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11 to your life? Are you giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue and the virtue knowledge and the knowledge temperance and the temperance patience and the patience godliness and the godliness brotherly kindness and the brotherly kindness love? Are you giving all diligence to do those things? I want you to ask yourself. I want you to be honest. Be honest with yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Be honest with yourself. Are you giving your all to add those things to your life? Can the fruit of the Spirit be found in you? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Can those things be found in you? Meekness? How able are you to discern between truth and error? Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14. Some of you ought to be teachers, but you're not. Some of you ought to be teachers. Some of you are. And you know, there are many people in this very congregation who are doing the things that they ought to be doing. In my judgment, of course, I'm not the one that matters. I see people who are giving what appears to be their all. It may not be their all. I may be deceived. I don't know. Because I can only judge, as Jesus says, by their fruits ye shall know them. And when we see people working hard and giving their all, what appears to be their all, it's encouraging. But what about you? How able are you to discern between truth and error? When you hear a false teacher on the television, can you tell? Can you recognize error when you hear it? Now, one way to recognize error when you hear it is to be grounded in the truth. You must be grounded in the truth. It's important that we know what the Scriptures teach. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Personal responsibility. Have you ever taken the time to really look at yourself? Do you do that? In fact, this is not just a one-time thing. We need to do this on a regular basis. Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Ask yourself some hard questions. Put yourself to the test. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus is Christ is in you? Is Jesus in you? Is He really? If Jesus is in you, then I'm going to tell you something. You'll be doing all that you can to serve Him and His people. And there is a danger of self-deception. Let us not forget that. Have you been converted? If you have not been converted, according to the Scriptures, if you've never been born again of the water and the Spirit, John 3:5, if you have never purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and to unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. If you've never been converted, you need to be right now this morning. Purify your souls in obeying the truth. He that believeth and is baptized, Jesus said, shall be saved. Be transformed from that old life of sin to the new life in Christ. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. Are you committed? If you have been converted, you are a child of God. Are you committed? Are you serving the Lord to the best of your ability? Examine yourself and think about that. Are you growing spiritually? Are you growing as you ought to be growing? There is no virtue in remaining an infant spiritually. There is no virtue in that at all. Only condemnation. Friend, if you're here this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel, or there are things in your life you need to change, you need to correct, I want to encourage you to take advantage of the opportunity that you have this morning. You may not get another opportunity. I hope that you've examined yourselves. And by the way, once again, there are individuals here who I know who are serving the Lord, who live dedicated lives. Are you one of those people? Pray that you will take the time and think about the things that are said from the Word of God, because it is the truth that is the standard. And we need to look at it and judge. Let it lead us and correct us. If you're here this morning, if we can help you, won't you come and together with us?